So today is, we're going to be talking about shame and unworthiness, the neurobiology of shame and unworthiness, shame, guilt, and unworthiness, or another reason why people fail at success. So, you know, I'm kind of linking it together, calling it guilt, shame, and unworthiness. You know, and basically it boils down to guilt is I made a mistake. Fine. But shame is when you begin to think that you are a mistake. And if you have enough internalized shame, you stop feeling worthy. And if you feel unworthy, then you're stuck and you're not going to get some of the things, whatever it is that you want. So are you worthy becomes one of the main questions. Are you worthy? And if so, how do you feel worthy? You know, it's a nebulous term. We'll talk about that real quick. And, you know, there was a study done of why the offspring of wealthy people do better than others, you know, that aren't from that background. And, you know, whenever I mention that, then naturally a lot of people, and again, please mute yourself, some people will try to point to, well, you know, it could be connections in that. But there's this guy did a bigger study of it, and it had to do with feelings of worthiness. You know, when they began to get it, they didn't push it away. And it has to do with what you saw, you know, what you saw when you were growing up, so to speak, right? And some of us develop false humility. Somehow thinking you feel unworthy is humility, right? But can you accept a gift easily or do you reject it? You know, we just had Valentine's Day and people talk about that. But so if you got a gift, do you just say thank you and accept it? Or do you say, oh, you shouldn't have done that and really mean it, try to get them to take it back, things like that. Another one is, can you accept a compliment, right? And do you downplay your accomplishments? So can you accept a compliment, and can you, when you do something good, anybody could do it. Anybody could do it. You know, it's the old Woody Allen, I wouldn't join a group that would allow a guy like me as a member, right? Hey, Robbie, hey, Bill, over on Facebook. If you like this, click like and share. But let's think about it this way. Humility is teachability, an open mind to the truth. But shame and guilt can lead to feelings of unworthiness. And there's a problem with using terms like shame, guilt, and unworthiness or worthiness is there's a problem of using a psychological term for more of a physical sensation, right? And it's a loaded word, culturally. You know, whatever shame, guilt, and remorse, it's a very loaded word. Hey, Joanne. So it has a cultural meaning, and we want to deny it. And it, so whether it's shame or guilt, you know, it's very loaded words. So is unworthiness, right? But really, it begins to develop into one thing, which is how can you use words to describe the undescribable, right? So if you have this deep feeling and you can't describe it, words can't describe it. So it's hard. You can't talk that out, right? Now, really quick, healthy guilt is you did something that was socially or objectively wrong, you know, and you're accepting responsibility, and hopefully it gets you to change your behavior. Healthy guilt is fine. You know, if you do something wrong, you feel guilty. But unhealthy guilt is when you begin to go into shame. And basically this happens when you have unrealistic standards, you know, or if you have, you try to please adults or authority figures that have unreachable standards, right? And like if they have perfectionism and they pass that on to you, you know, then that unreachable standard begins to become an unhealthy guilt, right? And then the next level of this, and they're not quite the same though, is shame. And shame is when you feel fundamentally flawed or worthless, defective, right? And when you have shame, it makes you want to withdraw or disappear. And I'll tell you why in a moment, you know. But again, you don't know what you don't know, right? And so what people don't realize about shame, one of the reasons it's so powerful, is it's in your neurobiology to keep you alive, right? Because we are social creatures. And our societies, you know, our tribes, groups, you know, whatever we want to call it, but our group, you know, we want to stay in the group to stay alive, because for most of history, if you got thrown out of the tribe, the group, the family, whatever it was a death sentence, right? And one of the things that developed in our beings is the idea that, you know, you became self-regulating through this. And so what would groups would do would use shame to keep you in line. You should be ashamed. You shouldn't do that, right? And so it kept the group coherent. So it's inbred in you when you get that feeling, so you want to withdraw. And usually that's what happened, because you don't want to call attention to yourself when you're feeling that, because, you know, that's why when people feel shame, they have a certain physiology, right? And so it's in your DNA, right? And that's what it is. But it can cause you, when you internalize it and you begin to just make it where you just feel it all the time, you can never accomplish what you really want. And so some of the issues that happen is you have, I call it the empty heart syndrome. And you'll never achieve at high levels because you don't feel worthy. Or if you get to the high level, you know, you can't enjoy it at all. And you begin to do self-sabotage, right? And that could be alcohol, drugs, eating, sex, toxic relationships, any other kind of self-sabotage. You know, I was just working with somebody that would, they would self-sabotage by always being late, you know, especially for an audition. You know, it was an actor. And, you know, that, you know, and then if they got the part, you know, they would, first thing they would do is, well, anybody can do the part, da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, there's some things we want to talk about. So the neurobiology, you know, it's similar to life threats. The neurobiology of shame is life threats, because you're feeling threatened because you're getting thrown out of your family or your group or whatever this group is you feel close to, right? And when you really feel shame, here's the power of it, you begin to lose your ability to have voluntary behaviors. You become, if it goes so bad, you totally shut down, and you feel it below your diaphragm. You feel it really low in your gut, right? And, you know, that's why when you feel it, you might get the, you might want to throw up, or you might get the runs and all this, because it really tears your guts up when you feel it. And it can be real or vividly imagined, right? And we've internalized this stuff, so it keeps us in line, which in one way could be good, right? Hey, Billy, how's Vegas? I wish I was there. My wife, there was an issue, so not this year. Real or vividly imagined is the same thing, right? So there's no defense when it starts in motion, right? Psychologically, right? And you withdraw because of shame, you know, and it's debilitating. And, you know, if it happens in childhood or after a trauma, then it's easily internalized. There are two times you have no defenses against internalizing these feelings. Number one is children, because you haven't developed the, you know, young children under about the age of somewhere between 7 and 9. You'll internalize things that maybe you shouldn't internalize. Hey, Martha, at least we're not staying up all night on the movie anymore. That was an inside joke. But children has no defense against it. So they can internalize shame, and then they begin to feel unworthy. And when you're in trauma, you have no defense for it. That's why when you're traumatized, that's what post-traumatic stress disorder is. And it'll lead to, I've been around veterans and worked with veterans that have it, and it's survivor's guilt. It's this, it's shame. I made it, they didn't. That's one aspect of it, you know, and it cues of hiding and retreating. And again, it feels, and what we're talking about today, it begins to make you feel unworthy, right? Again, if you like this over on Facebook over there, click like and share. If you're watching this here, it's probably on YouTube, click like and share. It's a felt sense is the current term for it. Words can't describe it, you know, and you might use words like unworthy, unlovable, incompetent, not of value. And when you have these feelings internalized, it's really a reflection of the relationships that happened in your developmental years, you know, 4 through about 9 or 10, especially, you know. And with us, it's messages that maybe you heard growing up, maybe we'd say parents, but it could be any authority figure, you know, relatives, parents, teachers, coaches, you know, and we'll internalize this. And again, we may mislearn what they're intending, right? You know, you should be ashamed of yourself. You ate the last bit of food, right? And so then you begin to internalize. I've worked with someone like that, that they ended up being bulimic and anorexic because they couldn't eat food because they had this, if they finished anything in the refrigerator, they were shamed about it, right? So, you know, and it when you develop it in early childhood or early adulthood or during emotional trauma, it's compounded and it draws on that experience. It's a process. It's not insight specific, right? And it's a process. And once it's when it's in your core, and again, especially since words can't describe it, there's even in the psychological and psychiatric community, it's immune to talk therapy. Because if you can't use words to describe it, and then if your therapist or someone's trying to help you, if they can't get you to feel it and then describe other ways, you know, insight will not fix it, right? And so you see a very specific body posture in this. You know, it's the it's what you see in trauma. People withdraw, people pull in. You know, hey, everybody, click like and share. And someone in a posture of shame will stay there until they change the body posture. You know, my dear friend Tony Robbins used to talk about throw your shoulders back, lift your head up, you know, and it opens the heart up. Because one of the things that happens, we talk about an empty heart or a closed heart, is when you're feeling shame and guilt, you pull in and you're actually protecting your heart, if you're into this, your heart chakra. And if not, you're trying to protect that solar plexus heart area. And so you'll withdraw. And again, because you don't want to get thrown out of the group. And we see it in some cultures where people get, you know, stoned as in a group or, you know, shunned as a group and then whatever it is, right? And so you have to change the body posture. And basically what begins to happen, shame is a belief-making system. So you develop your beliefs based on self-blame, right? And we develop this, it's chronic trauma. You know, and it can lead to, when it's in its extreme, it's self-loathing, you know, and it's the relationship you have with your inner self. And we're not taught how to nurture this. We're not taught any of this. We have to work at it, right? And it's a survival thing because it's about, you know, survival, being separated. And what we have to begin to do is make a very clear distinction between who you are right now, right? And whatever those events or situations and processes that happen that made you do things or you develop this feeling that you feel unworthy and you feel shame, right? If you can do that, then you can re-script the event. If not, you can never get in touch with it. It will never change, right? And this is very important. It's not just bad things. You know, the presence of bad things, abuse, trauma, overt bad things, right? So it's not just the presence of the bad. It can also be the absence of the good. You know, if you weren't loved, if you weren't nurtured, you know, it gets to the same space. And this is what's so bad. And so maybe, and we see this with people that were raised, I'll use my generation, you know, our parents were raised, you know, came of age during the Depression. And so they had a certain way to try to motivate you, right? And so it led to a feeling of internalized shame for a lot of people, right? You know, what your grandparents did to stay alive during the Depression, what everybody survived or, you know, contributed it to make it through World War II. And so, you know, so to try to motivate you, they would use these things. But what ended up happening is then you develop this feeling of shame, guilt, and unworthiness, right? And so what was meant to motivate ends up demotivating, right? And so it's an interesting thing. So you have to change your subconscious mind to change your life, right? And so how do we attack this problem, right? You have to look at it for what it is, right? And it's the deep feeling that you get when you feel, you know, and one of the ways to track it is if you get something really good, you win an award, you know, someone just thinks the world of you and you get a, some accolades, what's your first response, right? Do you feel bad? Do you want to like look around like, and in our turn, a term I love that people kind of use is, you know, they're always waiting for the shoe to drop. You know, good things are happening, but it's around the corner, right? And again, it's built into our culture. And it's maybe to try to keep us safe and secure, whatever it happens to be. But, you know, it's being internalized. So we push away the very things that we want, right? So you have to change your mind to change your life, right? And that's basically what it is. So when you look at shame and unworthiness, again, it's not just bad things that happen that make you that do this. It's the absence of the good. Were you nurtured? Were you encouraged? Were you loved? Were you loved just for being you? Or did you always think you had to deserve your love? You see this a lot with adult children of alcoholics or people grow up in dysfunctional relationship. It's you constantly have to earn it. Could you be loved just for being you? You know, unconditional love just for being you. No. If not, well, that's going to lead to different things. You're constantly trying to prove, right? And again, shame is an experience that's meant to motivate and change you in some way that allows you to reconnect with others. But then what really begins to happen is it pushes everything away that you say that you want. And so, you know, the power of groups is, and coaching, is it lets you feel connected. Right? Because we want to be connected. This is one of the drivers in our culture. You know, shared experiences. You know, we want to feel needed. Right? And so shame, it's the labeling that gets people caught up into things, like things that push things away. You know, I did something bad, therefore I am bad. Right? There's a difference than I did something bad, I'm going to change my behavior. Right? So if you say I did something bad and you begin to internalize it and then say, well, that's because I'm a bad person, then it changes. This is one of the reasons a lot of people, unless they've been exposed to it in the right way, they have a problem with like the 12-step program, like Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And because they'll say it's about feeling, you know, powerless or whatever. But what they don't get to is one of the drivers in the 12-step program is that you're not a bad person, you know, trying to get good. You had a sickness that you're trying to get better. Big difference. And again, it's about, and again, if you have alcoholic behavior, there's a lot of shameful behavior that you do. And one of the things you have to look at is maybe you did things to survive a traumatic situation that you feel shame that why did I do that? Whatever it was, why did I do that? You know, but now you're looking at it through your eyes right now. You know, it's like the armchair quarterback, you know, what they would do in a football game. You're not in full speed. And one of my pet peeves are people that will judge what people do in combat and they've never even been in the military, right? And so, but what people do to survive, you may do things that you weren't proud of. You may do this. And if you can't talk it out, if you can't just accept it and say, I did that in order to survive, you know, I worked with someone that had internalized it and they were victims of abuse growing up as not little kids. I had a couple and they were around 13 to 15 when it really kicked in. But they went along with it because it's the typical story that the person that was doing it was beneficial to the family unit. So they didn't want to disrupt it. And they knew that, right? Or they were threatened. The other people I've worked with, they were threatened. You know, if you tell on me doing this with you and to you, I will kill your family. And they believed it, right? And so they went along with it. And so then they felt guilty because now they're looking at it, you know, 30 years later going, why didn't I do X, Y, or Z? And then they start thinking, I'm bad because I let that happen. But how could you stop it? You know, if you were a child, if you were in this, if you were in a horrible situation that you had to do things in order to survive. And again, it could be just the illusion of survival, right? So you need to work through that. So that's, you know, and this is why coaching can help. Working with a mentor or coach helps, right? Because you can't think your way out of a feeling problem. This is where insight therapy falls apart, right? You can't think your way out of it, right? You must be guided out, right? And, you know, there's more and more coming out about the neurobiology of how this stuff works, right? And so I just wanted to do a quick one. I'm going to be doing more on this soon. But I do, I am going to offer a special, like 4 sessions, basically focusing on removing shame, guilt, and with the idea of developing the feeling of being worthy, right? And for those that wonder, you know, I usually do 4 sessions. It's usually like $19.95 unless you're in my group. And but if people want to do it, I'll do a special price, like you know, $8.95 for the 4 sessions. If you qualify, I have to, you know, we do have to have a quick communication to make sure that I can help you and that you really want the help. And what's this for specifically? This is really good to help remove these feelings of unworthiness. So if you're blocked in things like your physical development, like losing weight, getting in shape, doing that, if you can't get good long-term relationships, if you push away prosperity and all that, this is the kind of stuff that it can, that this was really geared to help. So I just wanted to do a quick, stay on Facebook for a moment. I just wanted to do a quick one. But again, if you want, get in touch with me, just leave me a message and I'll get back to you. Reach out. It's 941-408-8551 or email me, drwillhorton@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you and we'll see you soon. So have a great day.